And he liked to show that he show how strong he was by breaking horseshoes with his bare hands and engaging in fox tossing. Well, guess where I went after that. Reader, I went to fox tossing.
I'd be pleased to tell me it's German, throwing foxes rather than...
Yes. Fuchs Berlin. German. And I was like, I hope that's... It is.
Welcome to Worst Foot Forward, the podcast that celebrates the best of the worst. I'm Ben Vanderveld, and it's time for you to kneel before your superiors. That's more like it. We are commencing this week's show with an enormous parade in our honour. Just wandering past us now is a huge bust of myself and Barry made in the world's largest jelly mould. Then there's the Worst Foot Forward Arsenal, a 50-foot catapult loaded with custard pies, plus a thermonuclear pea shooter. And following at the back are the Imperial Worst Foot Forward troops, each with one boot on their left foot, rifles with the safety catch still on, Mother Goose stepping in 5-4 time, and naked as the day they were born. And with me is the corner cutting tailor to my definitely not naked emperor, Barry McStay.
Ave
Maria.
Nice, good. I'm particularly liking the wreath of laurel that you've got entangled in your locks at the moment.
Yeah, I just hid in a bush on the way here.
You're well seasoned.
Yeah.
It's going to be quite a noble podcast, this one.
It is going to be.
Very excited about our guest.
I'm extraordinarily excited about our guest. Yeah, I think it's the first time we've had a member of the aristocracy
the
show.
I think so. We haven't had.
Yes,
no one's been knighted since appearing on the show for services.
Services to podcasting.
Yeah. God, that would be galling, wouldn't it? Here, let's get this man on the pod. Our guest this week is a lord, no less. An evil overlord, that is.
Well, I don't like to particularly use that phrase. I mean, it's true as it is.
Evil overlord bit.
Yeah.
No, I think that's fair. The good, evil binary is very 20th century.
Yeah. I don't want to paint you into a corner. You can self-identify as any type of overlord.
And well, self-identify as any kind of morality.
For the sake of simplicity, evil then.
Evil is fine, good. Whether it be from his lair on Mount Fear, or the Black Tower of Goth, or Marblehead Fortress, you moved a lot over the course of several series.
Tell you what, I've got a lot of stuff in storage still as well.
Yes, he presides over all that is evil in the dungeons of the hit 80s and 90s TV game show Nightmare. He is the leader of the opposition, but very much on a platform of child killing rather than social reform and anti-Semitism. A techno-sorcerer of great power, with the ability to hurl fireballs and spy on anyone he likes using his powerful scrying glass.
Yes.
He's a man who suffers fools not at all. However, when he wants to mingle with mere mortals, he is known to take on the guise of the actor and comedian Tom Bell, who is best known as the host of It's a Good Disguise.
Yes.
You really have hiding in plain sight. He's the host of the ITV show Bromans, and also well known for his appearances on the likes of The MASH Report, Drunk History,
God,
Wizards vs. Aliens.
Wow.
Like the Busman's Holiday.
This guy sounds great.
Yeah. Horrible
What's
Science.
He not been in?
Humans. He's even been in a Star Wars. The
two.
Force Awakens.
He's been in two.
Has he been in two now?
He hasn't added the other one to IMDb.
Oh.
I bet.
Well, this paltry alter ego has also brought several hit shows to Edinburgh and claims to be the co-creator of Nightmare Live with previous podcast Paul Flannery. But we know the real brains behind everything is the man currently keeping us gripped in his death stare. Cower before Lord Fear.
Well, that's absolutely marvellous. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
He wrote the entire thing for us.
In our
own blood.
I proofread it a bit and I just had to make sure you got all the stuff in. That's great.
Yeah. How does it feel being out of the dungeon?
Thank you very much for getting it's good to stretch the legs sometimes.
Mm-hmm. How did you arrive?
Oh, I mean, I got a dragon.
Dragon.
Yeah.
Did you mind if I managed to find parking around here?
It's quite difficult.
Yeah.
But they're on the roof and
it's very
just keeping a low profile.
Yeah.
Because these days, gone are the days when you can just leave your dragon.
They get clamped
while
they get stolen.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
These rogue clampers.
So I
just said, look, mate, just keep low profile up there and hope for the best. But if we do hear some screaming, he's probably got some kids or whatever.
Yeah, it's fine. It's Hampstead. There are weirder things around here.
Is that where we are?
Yes.
Oh, marvellous.
How did you get into child killing and dungeon mastering?
Well, it's It's, yeah, it wasn't...
By the way, this is going to be a really weird show if none of you have seen the show Nightmare. Just going to put it out there.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen the show Nightmare, then this is essentially a confession by a monster.
Yeah. But yeah, how does one become sort of leader of an evil opposition?
Well, no, to be honest, I mean... Obviously, I'm sort of best known for the child killing and all that. Mm. But there's a lot of admin that goes into just running the dungeon as well, and that's why I'm here to sort of talk about. I think when people talk about leaders and great emperors, as we will get round to, so often they talk about how many did they kill, how many wives did they have, and all this nonsense. But there's a lot of to get done as well in the day to day. I mean, obviously, I've got a big goblin army, but those chaps are useless, and you've really got to. You've got to make it very plain to them what their job is. I mean, you send them to kill a kid, and they'll be so slow. I mean, these are blind children.
I did want to ask, why did goblins? What was the thinking behind using goblins as your main henchmen, who tend to run up to blind children and then dance around them for like 30 or 40 seconds without actually clubbing?
We got a grant.
Oh, right, I see.
Yeah, they said, look, if you put some goblins in the show, you'll get the budget will go up.
It's good to run an inclusive dungeon, isn't it?
That's right, and I spent all that on a lovely cape.
fine cape and helmet and makeup. Yeah.
That's me, actually. I made the swoosh noise myself. But you can imagine a lovely swooshing cape. But it's very back and forth with the child killing, because, of course, I couldn't do it without Traegard. Dungeon Master.
Yeah, so cool.
A lot of people...
Yes,
exactly. They think he's on his side. But, I mean, think about it. You know, his only hobby, really, sat in the castle on his own, is just sending blind children to their death.
Yes, that's true.
In the 80s, wasn't it? In the 90s, I mean...
It's very easy to paint you as the bad guy, but he could have kept the dungeon locked.
I'm just trying to run an efficient dungeon.
Yes.
What's he doing, putting children in helmets and send them down to... If you want that goblet, mate, come and get it.
And the other question I want to ask, is there a lady fear or a second lord fear in your life at the moment?
Well, no, sadly not. It's a lonely life at times. I've got Lisard, who's a sort of giant lizard sidekick. And, I'm hoping, really, this podcast might open a few doors.
It's surely portals.
Portals would be great.
If they weren't full with blades, would be great as well.
Yes, because it's time really to think about siring the next Lord of the Dungeon.
The heir to Lord Fear.
Yeah. So I'd be out looking there for a healthy, breeding stock. Am I using the right phrase? Somebody to drop me a male heir.
I don't know. I can imagine people at home are already very wet. Listening
yes.
To
I'm happy. I mean, you think of the great dynasty, Victoria left without children, didn't she? In some ways, perhaps I'm the Victoria of...
I think she had a lot of kids. I think a couple of them survived, but a lot of them died.
Who am I thinking of?
Yeah.
You're thinking of Elizabeth?
Elizabeth, yeah, no
kids. So many of them.
Yeah.
So many of them.
So you've had them all.
Wait.
Can I ask,
is the one? Yeah, that's the one. Then there was the Fire of London.
Fire of London, that's definitely Elizabeth.
Yes, no, that's the
that's
one.
That's not.
Isn't it?
Come on. Charles II.
Oh, shit, yeah, it is.
And which is the one?
You've been in a dungeon.
Which is the one that killed Diana? That's my favourite.
It's not you. Not you. She wasn't a child at the time, so...
No, I know.
She only does... Is that the rule? You have to be this old to be killed by Lord Fear?
She was my dream.
Was she really?
I had the posters up.
No, she never came to visit the dungeon.
Just the once.
Open, like,
yeah, so
a wing of it.
I pretended to be an AIDS hospital. And got her in. But she saw through it. Straight away. Smart cookie, that one. R.I.P. Yeah. Just the sort of thing I have. Do apologise. Anyway, Diana fans out there.
Now, at this point, Lord Fear, we like to ask our guests, what are they worst at in the world?
Oh, gosh.
And clearly it's not luring royals into your dungeon.
No. Easily done. Bad at. It's like a job interview, isn't it?
Setting difficult riddles?
Well, now, yes, this is it. I mean, I looking back now, there's I killed most of them.
You did.
About seven or eight did make it through.
You killed, or they stepped themselves off cliffs?
This is it.
It's important to have liability.
Yeah.
A lot of people sort of say to me, look, if you've got these dragons and these monsters and these blades, why a lot of word puzzles.
Yeah, a lot of word searches.
Why,
and,
you know,
and conundra.
I bloody love a word puzzle, me. So maybe my weakness is I just wasn't. I could have been a bit harsher on them.
Okay,
could have got could
not
have
evil
really got,
enough.
Not evil enough at times. Perhaps I'm a bit soft on them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, their face is falling off, and I make sure they have an apple.
But you were a big exponent of the five a day movement before it really was popular.
I was an early exponent of that.
Yes. I think people would be more willing to have five a day if there was a threat of your flesh genuinely falling off your
this
bones.
Is true. Who was that guy who modelled the face falling off?
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah. Imagine getting that gig.
No, I know. Well, that was a natural thing.
Oh, right. Okay.
It happened to him, and he was quite a fortunate chap, really. And Christopher was his name. And lovely chap, but of course, when you've got that, it's very difficult. What work can you get? Well, fortunately,
representing the life force.
Yeah,
of a small
and we
child
did it live every time. And people think that some sort of video something, but it was live, and he'd follow at a distance behind the child. And
face falling.
Yeah, we had a little sort of. We could talk to him and say, Christopher, lose an eye.
All right.
And he could pop one out.
Presumably, then you'd have someone else following behind him, scooping up the bits.
That's right.
stick them back on.
And then you'd all reassemble Christopher after the show like a human jigsaw.
Exactly.
Like a Mr. Potato Head.
Mr. Potato Head. Mr. Potato Head. And it was between
more protein-based Mr. Potato Head.
That's right. Again, if you've not seen the show, what on earth are we talking about?
We this week, listeners, are talking about the world's worst emperor.
Yes.
And I'm assuming, since Lord Fear is a single-minded autocrat, he's going to have lots of good suggestions. But first, we're going to go to Barry.
Lovely. I'm going to talk about a couple of empresses, first of all, because this is an Equal Opportunities podcast.
Yes, it is.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't even occur to me.
Well, I was just interested in, you know, the way Queen Victoria was Empress of India, or so-called.
No children, famously. No.
Well, apparently she did have a daughter called Vicky. Do you know, Vicky. They called her Vicky. Yeah. Princess Vicky. Vicky married Fritz, who was the heir to the German Empire. And the reason, and basically, when he became emperor, Vicky was going to be an empress. And Queen Victoria did not like that idea of being inferior to her daughter, of just being a queen. So Disraeli had the bright idea of going, why don't we make you an empress as well? Why don't we just, so that you don't have to kneel to your own daughter now and again. So it was an act of jealousy, essentially, that made her an empress in the first place. I then read about Empress Anna Ivanova. Have you heard of her?
She's a famous anagram, isn't she?
And tennis player, I believe.
Yes.
She was a empress of Russia in the 1730s, and she was not pretty. Not famed for her looks, was Anna Ivanova. In fact, when she got married, Peter the Great, her uncle, set up a mock wedding a couple of days later where he got some dwarves to imitate Anna's wedding. And everyone, they got them up on the table, and everyone got the dwarves drunk and made them fight with each other, basically ripping the piss out of his not that attractive niece. And even worse was the night of the wedding, her husband drank quite heavily and died 2 months later. So she spent the rest of her life very much not appreciating anybody who was in a couple, ever. So she wrote there are like 300 letters she wrote to her family, almost all of them complaining about the fact she doesn't have a husband anymore and wanting them to find her someone else to marry. 20 years after that wedding, she did then become empress, and she witnessed the wedding of Prince Mikhail, who was a Russian nobleman, and his bride, and they were one of those couples who were just so fucking happy, and Empress Anna fucking hated it. And
I like this Anna.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well.
Driven by hate.
Mikhail's wife died, and rather than commiserating, Anna suggested that Mikhail become her court jester. Yeah. Made him sit on a nest of eggs in her reception room, clucking and pretending to lay eggs as people walked past him.
What era was this?
This was in the 1730s. Yeah.
Fringe theatre's been around for so long.
Yeah, it was very much performance art for a long time. But that wasn't enough for her.
Come on, Anna, what else you got?
In 1739, she built an ice castle, 80 foot long by 30 foot high. And everything in it was made of ice. There were the beds, the sideboards, the clocks, trees and birds outside of it, even an elephant, which A guy was hired to sit inside the ice elephant and make elephant noises. The article I read said, it's no wonder there was a revolution in Russia.
I mean, I'm going to say it right now. I'm not going to beat this.
Oh, well, she's not even my candidate.
Oh, good grief.
Also, sitting inside an elephant making elephant noises, isn't that going to make the ice elephant melt?
You would imagine, but Russia is quite cold.
Good point. Good point.
And what Anna did is she made Mikhail marry a maid of hers who was very ugly, just forced them to get married, dressed them up as clowns riding real elephants to this ice castle where the wedding was held, and then forced them to spend the wedding night in the ice bridal suite, naked on an ice bed in Russia. And unsurprisingly, the maid died of pneumonia a couple of days later. But yeah, apparently Prince Mikhail did survive. But that was the lengths that she went to try and share her misery with other people. Also, fun fact, she loved shooting so much, she used to keep a rifle by her bedroom window so she could occasionally take pot shots at birds. Yeah, so I quite like Princess
Anna. She's great fun.
She's great, yeah. I think, listen, if she's the sort. What's your type, Lord?
I even put nail on the head.
Yeah. Yes. There is Bachelor number one. Yeah. Bachelorette number one.
Ooh, very interested.
I read about a couple of Chinese emperors. Zhu Yu Wang, who was emperor in the 780s BC.
We know.
Yeah, everyone's heard of Xu. He fell for a courtesan called Bao Xi. Fell in love with her so much that he replaced his wife with her. But she was a bit of a sour-faced lady, didn't really have much of a sense of humour. So to try and make her laugh, he lit all the warning beacons in the castle so all the lords of the kingdom would come rushing to the defence of the castle. And that, apparently, she found hilarious.
They all came...
all over the country. They're like, there's been an invasion. Right. No, he's just trying to make her laugh. And everyone's showing up. Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
She liked it so much, he did it again.
Yes!
And again. And again. And guess what happened, guys?
Well, there was an invasion.
There was an invasion. He lit the beacons and nobody showed up. So he was the boy who cried invasion, very much. And I read about another guy called Liu Zhiyi, who was an emperor of the Liu Song dynasty in the 400s. He hated his father. He sounds a lot like Trump, this guy. He hated his father, who was his predecessor, so much that he basically rescinded all of his laws. So he's doing like Trump is doing to Obama's reputation.
I mean, if Obama is actually Trump's father, that is an incredible plot twist.
I want to see Trump's birth certificate. And he saw a portrait of his father, which he didn't like. He made them repainted with a bigger nose to make him look uglier. Ooh. And he once gave 30 male concubines as a gift to his sister. What do you get your sister? You get her 30 guys to shag, apparently.
I didn't know male concubines were a thing in China.
Well, they were for the Princess Royal, apparently.
Sure.
He had an affair with his great aunt. And my favourite fact about him is he was killed while holding a ghost killing ceremony.
Apparently
he had a dream where a woman cursed him and he woke up and saw a serving maid in his castle who looked a lot like the woman he saw in his dream. So he had the serving maid killed, fell asleep, and then the ghost of the serving maid appeared to him in his dream and cursed him again. So he's like, not only do I have to kill the serving maid, I've got to kill the ghost of the serving maid. And someone during the ceremony just went, yeah, I think we need to kill this guy. But I have gone to ancient Rome to find
Of
course, the kings, the absolute tip-top.
When you think of emperors, that's what you think of. You think of Rome, don't you?
Exactly. And I wanted to look at it. When I'm thinking about worst emperors, I think a big factor is how did this emperor die is a good way of determining if they're a good or bad emperor.
Okay.
Fun ways people died. The Emperor Caracalla was killed by his own guard while taking a piss at the side of the road.
Piss death.
Yeah, it's horrible.
We had to drop that room in the end. We trialed that.
The Emperor Commodus, famously very cruel to animals, fought with gladiators himself. He once rounded up all of the cripples in Rome, shoved them into the circus and made them fight each other with meat cleavers, and was strangled by his favourite wrestler in a bath. What a way to go if Rock just...
My God, I would have loved the Roman times.
Yeah.
Could he not stop and rub a duck like the rest of us?
favourite wrestler.
Caligula, of course, bound to get a mention on this show. He was murdered as he left the games one day, and everyone was so sort of terrified of him, they just left his body at the side of the road for several days and let dogs eat it.
Great.
Caligula was
the cradle of civilization.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really was, wasn't
he? He came very close to being my number one. I mean, he's one of his favourite ways, I think we've talked about this, one of his favourite ways of torturing people was sawing through them, hanging them upside down, so sawing them from crotch to neck.
Oh, right.
But slowly, over the course of, you know, several days, and because they were upside down, all the blood would rush to their head, so it kept them alive.
Oh, yes.
He once beat a man with chains for several months. So just would beat him for a bit, shove him in a dungeon, bring him out after a few days, beat him a bit more with them, bring him out. Eventually, after a while, they were like, ah, he smells a bit too much, let's just chop his head off. That we've had enough fun with him now.
The thing is, you hear all this and you're like, ooh, not a great guy.
No.
But I'll tell you what, the carts all ran on time.
And the roads led to Rome.
The terrific roads.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes, well, you cut a few people from dick to head or whatever. Yeah, sure. Well, that's the cost.
When he wasn't cutting them from dick to head, he liked to chew live prisoners' testicles when they were still attached to them as a way of punishing them. I mean, we've all been
again. I'm taking some notes. This is great. Yeah.
Can you imagine if that's what happened today? Like, if you committed a bank robbery and as a punishment, Theresa May teabagged you.
I bet, she wouldn't know what teabagging meant, and she would literally offer you some PG tips.
Yeah, one of the real bad things, there'd be little bits of wheat between her teeth that would tickle on your ball bag.
But my candidate for worst emperor is someone who's appeared in the show, Ben, quite recently, actually. The Emperor Elagabalus. We talked about him 2 weeks ago with Francesco when we talked about the world's worst prank. Elagabalus is the emperor who invented the prototype whoopee cushion.
Yes.
By he'd let guests at his dinners sit on these big cushions, right. And over the course of dinner...
So where's he from?
Ancient Rome. He was emperor in the 200s, the early 200s, and he became emperor at the age of 14. Didn't last very long. He was dead by the time he was 18. At his parties, he would let the air out of people's cushions so they'd slowly sink to the floor over the course of dinner. He was killed. Firstly, did he have a good death? Yes, he did. He hid in a chest to avoid being found by his guards who were rioting and rebelling against him, but they found him and stabbed him while he was still hiding in a chest.
Ooh,
which is pretty
nasty.
Good.
One for the fans there.
But he's one of those kids who had a stage parent, guys, because his uncle, Caracalla, had been emperor. And then he was usurped by a general in the army called Macrinus. And Elagabalus's mum basically went, we're going to make you the emperor. We're going to pretend you're Caracalla's illegitimate son. I'm going to push, we're going to rally the troops around you. You're going to be the emperor. She obviously, when he got into power, was given the title of Augustus as well and was helping to run the place. But very much shoved him to the fore.
Yeah, so this is the one thing about the emperors. They do keep it in the family a little bit, don't they?
Very much kept
quite hard
in the family.
To sort of break through there.
Yeah, you know, it's a bit of a closed shop.
It is, isn't it? I will say that. Yeah.
They need to open it up. He had a lot of interesting habits. He offered money to any physician who could give him a vagina instead of his penis.
Sorry, say that again.
He offered money to any physician who could give him a vagina instead of a penis, Ben. It's completely normal behaviour.
No, it is. He was a trans emperor.
Yeah, he wanted to be a trans... he wanted to be a woman, by all accounts. And a lot of people think he was transsexual or transvestite, certainly.
That's quite interesting. Like a Roman, of course, bloody loved penises as well. So that's quite a...
Oh, this guy, big fan of penises.
Yes.
Just you wait.
Was that... the Romans being influenced by Greek culture and going, well, the Greeks were into a bit of the gayness, so we'll have a bit of it.
It's hard to know. He had been growing up in Syria, and he was...
Ah, there we are. There.
He was a devotee...
I'm sorry, I don't know what that means.
He was a devotee of the god Elagabal. So that's where he gets his name from. He called himself Elagabalus. He was actually known as Marcus Aurelius Antoninus Augustus while he was alive, but he worshipped this god Elagabal, who was a phallic cult.
Yes.
And his temple at Emesa in Syria... had a black bit of meteorite as the central part of their devotion there. It was
That's
great.
Cool.
Yeah. Surrounded by little, surrounded by big penis statues.
Oh, yeah.
And so when Elagabalus moved to Rome, he brought the meteor with him, had it carried into Rome on a chariot, with no rider, just this rock, this bit of meteor in a chariot being pulled by horses with Elagabalus in front of it, leading the horses while walking and dancing backwards in this parade, obviously with the dick statues alongside it as well. So it's quite a way to make your entrance into the city.
It's one hell of an opening number.
Yeah, yeah. It's very much setting out your stall for what's to come.
I pitched this when... For the Bromans TV show that I sort of helped work on.
Yes.
I was like, look, this Tom Bell chap should turn up absolutely in a chariot full of dicks.
Yeah.
And they took it a bit too literally and brought the public on board.
They brought in eight members of the public.
He made this big temple to Elagabal, which he carried out loads of sacrifices of animals out, killing hundreds and hundreds of animals. Dick Temple.
He sounds like a private act.
Yeah, yeah. Attorney at law.
Yeah.
He married a Vestal virgin, which was very much against the rules back then.
Come on, that's not against the rules.
Why is that against the rules?
They're meant to be virgins, Ben. If they have sex, then they're meant to be buried alive, apparently. But he's the emperor. He said he could do what he liked. Not the only person he married. He also tried to marry his favourite charioteer, male, and his favourite athlete, also male, as well as a couple of other people.
What are you going to say? His favourite athlete? Horse?
No, he didn't quite go down that route. He had himself circumcised and made senators watch. And then danced around the altar of Elagabal. He would dress as a woman. This is a quote from a historian. He said he would go to the tavern by night wearing a wig, and there plied the trade of a female prostitute. He frequented the notorious brothels, drove out the prostitutes, and played the whore himself. He finally set aside a room in the palace, and there committed his indecencies, always standing nude at the door of the room, while in a soft and melting voice he solicited the passers-by.
Good lord.
Yeah, it's pretty... I mean, I quite like him. I can imagine a porn movie about him being quite successful.
Yeah, well, was it the movie about Caligula that had Malcolm McDowell in?
Oh, maybe. I think there is one, isn't there?
It's meant to have some, frankly, disgusting...
Yeah, I think you're right.
...orgy scenes.
He then went so far as to go, listen, I really like guys with big dicks. What's the quickest way of me finding them? I know, I'll open a public baths in the palace and then just wander around going, him... and him. That'll be fine. Send them to my room.
Very modern. I love it.
Yeah, it's great. He liked to have his lovers catch and beat him and walk in on him having sex with somebody else and get annoyed and beat him. He still had a pretty cruel streak.
But dead at 18 as well.
He crammed a lot in.
I really feel like I've achieved very little compared to this.
Burned bright and fast.
Yes.
Who is that comfortable with their sexuality at 16, 17 to want to be able to do all of this?
I mean, I think it's great. I think it's great that he was just said, I am what I am.
Any
and what I am
is
no excuses. Yeah, yeah. He's an inspiration. He liked to punish his enemies by shoving hot pokers in their skin, skinning them, and throwing salt on their wounds. Yeah, he had a servant eaten alive by rats.
Yep.
He had priests meet him when he arrived in the city with bowls of children's intestines. And he's alleged to have smothered his dinner guests in rose and violet petals released from a false ceiling. There's a great painting, actually, I've seen of him and some friends under a canopy while the rest of his guests are drowning in this this tidal wave of rose petals. It's amazing. I think...
Sounds like a total arse.
Yeah, I mean... Obviously,
I love it.
Trailblazing in a lot of ways, in maybe being the first transgender emperor, but certainly as an emperor, very much didn't focus on the nitty gritty of running an empire.
Notably,
there's a lack of admin.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you wonder who was sort of actually getting the stuff done.
Yeah, yeah, not many people, it seems. And he'd
at least turn up a bit and. Forum or something and go, hello, how's the laws?
Yeah. How are the laws doing?
That sort of thing.
They're still in place.
Wave to the crowd, they love a bit of that.
Yeah, so
you can't always just get people eaten by rats.
No, or, having children's guts on demand all the time.
That's it's a sometimes food.
That poor Deliveroo driver.
So I was trying to sort of think about worst and what is worst and is it, as you've gone to this, just excessive. I mean, that's excessive, isn't it? And dead at 18, having done all that, is impressive. But I was trying to sort of think about, like, the fall of dynasties and, sort of, like, who Who mucked up?
Yes. Yeah. You know,
who let the bloody family down?
Who dropped the ball?
That's right. Who got Nightmare cancelled? And so you sort of think of let me get my notes up here for the fans. Should have this ready.
Morphe is on rolling a scroll of parchment in front of us.
Yes, made from the skin of previous Dungeoneers.
Yeah.
And so I suppose, I don't want to step on anybody's toes here, but you think of perhaps Nicholas II, who got the last Russian emperor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got himself bloody killed, didn't he? How was that? abolished. The monarchy absolutely abolished after that.
Yeah, there's a weird, cult of sainthood around them now again. That's, they're coming back into fashion.
Well, it's because the communists weren't necessarily the greatest of guys.
Yes.
But there's a ridiculous revisionism about the Russian royalty.
Yeah, how great they were.
Yes, and they were not.
They were the least man of the people you could find.
Yeah. In some ways, I don't want to come down either side, but you rightfully killed. And then it seemed to me we've got Kaiser Wilhelm II, last German emperor, who got a bit, it didn't help with the old bloody First World War, did he?
Mm.
So you've got to sort of throw him in there, so First World War.
I always think it's
End of the German Empire.
I always think it's quite funny thinking that how he was alive for ages afterwards as well. He was still around until, I think he was still alive when World War II started.
Trying to sort of get...
Yeah, go on.
Get back.
Guys, do you want me back? Do you want me back? No, come on, pick me, coach, pick me.
That's all right, Wilhelm, to be honest with you, this new chap's...
Yeah. He's definitely...
He doesn't like to...
He's gone hard.
He's gone,
gone hard to go home.
I wonder, I don't know. Perhaps he's round at the end. He was like, well, there we go. Should have got old Willy back in.
They're all related to each other as well. That's the bonkers
thing.
They're
all like bloody...
The Brits and the Germans
Habsburg,
and the Dutch. The Russians. The bloody Dutch.
Yeah.
Always had it in for the Dutch.
Exactly. Well, then I sort of went back a little bit and I was looking into sort of Egyptians and pharaohs, not technically emperors, but I think
I think I'll allow it.
And again, not really the worst, but this is great fact about Ramesses II, who's sort of perhaps one of the most famous pharaohs, Ramesses the Great, they called him.
Is he the one who lived for ages?
Yeah, lived for a very long time. But he would, and he was all about, in what was sort of the start of the empirical idea of creating statues of oneself, and of course I suppose the Romans did the same thing with, they were the first to sort of put their faces on coins, so that people were very aware of it. It was very branding. It was all about branding.
Yeah,
the Romans were really good at it, and the Egyptians were great at it. I mean, we all love a pyramid, don't we? And then he had these massive statues of him made, but he also would go around just changing the names on statues that already existed to him.
Oh, really?
Which is a great idea. That saves a lot of time, doesn't it? Just scratch that out. Ramesses, this is definitely Ramesses. And everyone's like,
that's a very good idea. I want to see Lord Fergus Colum in Trafalgar Square in the centre of London.
And I bring him up because I started talking about, I sort of looking into him. And then on Wikipedia, there's this great little fact, which was, he's 8th on the list of, what's the list name? List of people with the most children.
Oh, ever. Wow.
And I was like, that's a list I want to... Eighth ever.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
How many children are we talking?
Ramesses II, here he is. 8th ever, most children in the world.
Wow.
Pretty good.
That's not bad.
And
who's first?
Well, this is it. I wonder if you guys can.
Is it Attila or Genghis Khan? One of the two of them had 300 kids.
Soul singer Solomon Burke had about 50.
Oh, really? Give us a benchmark. How many did Ramesses have?
Okay, let me bring it up. 162 plus is the.
Oh, wow. Okay,
pretty
that's a
good.
High bar.
Good.
I can't remember if it's Attila the Hun or Genghis Khan.
No, well, I'm going to give absolutely points. It was Genghis Khan, number one.
Genghis Khan, number one, nice.
Number one with a bullet. Oh, Geng. between
How did he get anything else done?
The official, they've got written here, between 1,000 and 2,000.
Jesus Christ. Mm,
busy man.
Yeah, well, it's surely...
And they spent their lives on horseback.
But a very...
Yeah, a lot of those horses got pregnant.
That's right.
Yes, we don't know how many of these are all horse children.
That's very good.
But then I went down a few more. I was like, I wonder if there's... I was like, we can't do Genghis because he's too successful to be, And then there was this chap stood out, Augustus II, brackets the Strong. And I'm always like anybody who was...
Well, he gives himself a nickname.
Shitty name.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, who's this? Augustus was Elector Saxony, King of Poland.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, right, let's have a look at this. Went to Augustus the Second. When was he around? Well, I don't. We all know at home, but just in case.
Oh, yeah, we all.
1670 to 1733.
Yeah, that was right in the tips of our tongue.
Yeah, exactly. Right in the old 18th century, famously one of the most boring periods of history. But I went down his thing. I was like, is he going to be a good one? He seemed quite boring. And then it talked about one of his hobbies being, here we go. Augustus' great physical strength earned him the nicknames The Strong, The Saxon Hercules, and The Iron Hand, which are all great, and I really need to get myself some more nicknames.
Yeah.
And he liked to show how strong he was by breaking horseshoes with his bare hands and engaging in fox tossing. Well, guess where I went after that. Reader, I went to fox tossing.
Wow, I'd be pleased tell me the it's German, throwing foxes rather than...
Yes, Fuchsbrillen. German. And I was like, I hope that's... It is.
Wow.
It's a popular competitive blood sport in parts of Europe, 17th, 18th century, which involved throwing a live fox in the air.
Jesus
particularly
Christ.
Popular for mixed couples, which is nice.
Oh, nice. That's good. Something to get,
what, because you'd have single fox tossing, doubles, and then the mixed
speed
doubles.
Speed dating fox
mixed
tossing.
Yes, exactly. That's how you do it.
And that's the poor bloody foxes, as if being hunted isn't bad enough.
Sometimes would you rather be tossed or hunted?
I don't know. I like to be hunted and then tossed.
Exactly. So the fox tossing I really got into. But I'm throwing my, because I know we had to get on with it, my shout for worst emperor, and this is a little controversial, is Ming.
Ooh,
Ming the Merciless.
Ming the Merciless.
And I'm sorry, Ming, if you're listening, because I know...
He's a big fan.
Yep. And obviously we...
Well, the weather has been rather off the past few weeks.
Exactly.
So
he's
been listening.
But I just think there was a man who had it all... He had everything.
Yeah.
And he had his weather machine. And he got bored.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his downfall. I'm Clytus, I'm bored. And he said, ooh, let's play with this planet, Earth.
Yeah.
Well, do your research, for goodness sakes. It's not like Caesar Augustus would just go like, I'm bored, get me that. You know, they do their research and they go, right, let's go attack this and let's do that. And he
prepare to fail.
Exactly. Well, quite right. And he sent them a hot hailstorm, I think, completely the wrong planet. and he kicked the hornet's nest, didn't he? And who was in it? Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
Quarterback,
bloody
New York
Flash
Jets.
Gordon,
But again, just one man, and he let him combine the kingdoms.
Yeah.
Ming, didn't he? He led a bloody Brian Blessed.
Yeah. Got and the music of Queen.
Yes. And your lad from Bond there.
Yeah, Timothy Dalton.
Yeah.
And your lad from Blue Peter.
They were all there.
Yeah.
Peter Duncan.
Peter Duncan.
That's right.
Is in Flash
Peter
Gordon
Duncan,
as well.
Exactly. I think I could hold out against Peter Duncan. I honestly do.
Whilst he's doing what?
Tying you up in sticky back plastic.
Well, exactly.
I bet, you know, what happened was Peter Duncan had asked his parents' permission before he went off at Flash Gordon.
Imagine Blessed in the dungeon, actually. He'd be too loud because the echo, the resonance would be...
Yeah.
He'd shatter the damn place. But Ming, I just...
He did have good facial hair, though.
Oh, great facial hair.
Yeah, I think...
No, he dressed wonderfully, and he had a lot of it. The colour was great. And sometimes I look at that and I go, maybe I want a space palace. But again, that's a lot of work. And I just think he got the basics wrong, and he got lazy.
Yeah.
And even when, you know, and he's like, oh, I think maybe I'll marry Dale Arden. It's like, Dale Arden, come on, you can do better than this.
So no, you're having a go at being the Merciless for not being focused enough, for not being ambitious enough.
I think when I look back at that movie, I'm like, Flash is right there. Kill him.
Yeah.
Or at least give him a bloody word puzzle. he underestimated, and you can never do that.
Yeah, that's true.
You can never do that.
Yeah.
And then he ends up, he impaled on a spaceship or some crap like that. And yes, exactly.
And that's, you're right. It's the way they get killed. It always defines a good emperor. And if you're impaled on a spaceship, that's pretty good.
So, I mean, look, it's an outside bet, Ming the Merciless, but I just think he was onto such a good thing.
Yeah.
Got cocky, didn't read the warning signs, and when Queen starts blaring loudly at your wedding, look out!
I think he's a very strong candidate.
Well, I perhaps haven't made my point right, but I just feel like, come on, Ming.
Yeah.
And again... He ruled with an iron fist, but they didn't love him. No, you've got to throw something back.
I think that's the merciless bit.
Yeah, well, the truth is...
That's true. Toss a few foxes. Give the fans what they want. Yeah. Get a dick chariot.
You know the way the Tories are saying, we'll reintroduce fox hunting. Why don't they just introduce fox tossing instead?
Fox tossing.
Yeah, it's slightly more
humane.
Bring
it back.
Yeah.
Bring it back. So Ming, that's my shout, and I'm sorry, Ming. And I, because I, you know, could have been onto a good thing. And yeah. I hate to see... but also, what we don't realise is after that, I mean, I've spent a bit of time up there, and it was chaos. The power vacuum that created. Everyone's cheering, flash, flash, flash. Well, it's awful. The economy's tanked.
I began by looking at smallest empires. Do you know who is the emperor of the smallest empire?
Right.
Is this someone who's declared themselves an emperor?
No.
Oh, no. Like a short-lived one? Or no. literally small.
Physically small.
There was an empire in some of the islands in Tonga a couple of centuries ago, which was very little.
It was, but not that one.
Not as little
smaller.
As that.
Smaller.
Was it an island nation?
Is it Elba?
Very good.
Yes!
It is, because...
Napoleon,
when he was
exiled,
thank
yes.
you, exiled. I was about to say excavated. Yeah. When he was exiled to Elba, he was still Emperor Napoleon.
Yeah, I read this yesterday. They let him be Emperor of Elba.
Yeah.
This tiny island. Mm.
Yeah, and he even famously organised a rubbish collection on Elba. That's how organised he got everything there. And the mules ran on time.
Yeah. Yes.
It was that was my fun little fact.
Nice.
There. Another emperor.
Able was I ere I saw Elba.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's a famous palindrome. It is a palindrome, but he didn't say that because he's French.
Yes.
And it doesn't work in French.
In French, it's also.
Sounds good
palindrome.
When I say it, though.
Is it?
No, it's not.
I just wanted to do that because it's not. Don't often get to do that.
Don't get to. You love a palindrome? Love a word puzzle?
I bloody do. Yeah. Exactly. Yes, you get it.
Another character, and this is a character who is in charge of a tiny, tiny island, is a gentleman called Butterworth Staveley.
Like it.
Yes. He's a fictional character in Mark Twain's story, The Great Revolution in Pitcairn.
First fictional character.
Yes. What, after? Oh, of course, because Ming was...
Great chap. Dead now. Yeah. R.I.P.
You're a bit of a droll lord. Lord Fear, which is a palindrome.
It's a palindrome.
Yeah.
I'm delighted.
Just figured that out. You can have that.
Droll Lord.
Droll Lord. Sorry.
Do apologise.
Just do a little palindrome aside.
That's right. What's going to be incredible is when we get to the end of this podcast and realise that Lord Fear has been seeding the conversation with more word puzzles and clues which give you the code to enter his dungeon.
Yeah. It's going to be like that book, Masquerade, whatever is the one.
The Rabbit.
The Rabbit, yeah. Where there's a puzzle and leads you to treasure somewhere. Is there treasure at the end of this podcast?
No, there's a lost Da Vinci submarine.
Also, that is the most Irish you've ever sounded. Again. Is there treasure at the end of...
Yes, yes, there is.
Yes.
But the real treasure is the friends we kill. You know, got to enjoy the journey, don't you? What is this chap?
So Butterworth Staveley, he's just a guy I looked over. He's... in a Mark Twain story, he becomes Emperor of Pitcairn Island.
Oh,
and
nice.
Pitcairn Island is the smallest nation state on Earth.
Yeah.
Smaller even than the Vatican City.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Mark Twain based the story on one sentence in a naval report by Admiral Algernon Frederick Ruderhorsey. Cracking name.
People have good names, don't they?
Yeah, back in the day they did. About a gentleman who was the survivor of a shipwreck in 1875, a man called Joshua Hill, who went on to become a real-life American dictator on Pitcairn Island. Another suggestion I wanted to have for the world's worst emperor was every child in China.
Finally, somebody said it.
They've taken communism to a real high level.
No, I don't. Okay.
Everyone gets to be emperor for a while.
Sort of. Basically, we all know about China's one-child policy.
Yes.
So what has happened...
I got to say, I'm very anti it.
Yeah.
The supply and demand of that is terrible.
Basically, what's happened is that because every family can only have one child, and so much of the future of that family's fortunes rest on that child, the child has become incredibly spoilt and incredibly privileged. So they get all of the education, but all of the material goods, and there is this notion of families going on this 4-2-1 formation of four grandparents, two parents, and one child.
Right.
And it's inverted the traditional structure of Chinese families, where previously they would respect their elders.
Yeah.
But now all this love is given to these spoilt little wankers.
It's people. It's all these modern tactics. People come in. Whatever happened to good old 4-4-2?
Well,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Four grandparents, four parents, yeah. Two children.
Yeah. I don't know how it works.
Well, you have the two biological parents and then the two godparents at the side.
Exactly.
You know,
that's
it works out.
Yeah. Substitutes.
That's what they are. It's got so bad, apparently, that many of the... basically, a lot of the spending in Chinese nuclear units has gone on children. Upwards of 50% of what the parents spend is on the children, including on things like platinum jewellery. Yeah. And lots of jewellery stores will be making goods, especially for these super spoilt children.
No.
So, yeah, that made me very angry indeed. Staying in China, there is Sima Yan, the Emperor Wu of Jin. And, yes. Gosh, it's fun saying these Chinese names.
Yeah.
And it is said that he had as many as 10,000 concubines and yet still couldn't match Genghis Khan.
No, number one.
Yeah.
Number one with a bullet.
He once issued an imperial edict to prohibit marriage for years and would carry out large-scale beauty pageants to select the women for his concubine.
I mean, put all of these candidates together, you're basically getting Donald Trump.
Yeah, essentially you are.
He really is.
He's picking and choosing the best of all of them.
He has so many concubines, he found it difficult to decide which one to spend the night with.
Just throw a dart at them?
No. What he would do, he would sit in a cart drawn by a sheep and let them randomly walk through the palace. Ah. And he would spend the night with a lucky girl with whom the sheep stopped next to.
I bet that sheep also was used to predict the outcome of World Cup football matches.
I am also going to suggest the Emperor Penguins, total dicks.
I'm delighted.
Yeah, and
what's so bad about them?
I thought about that, but then.
So basically, you know the traditional myth that's put up that penguins are monogamous and they look after their young? Not Emperor Penguins.
No,
they
right.
frequently what? Adopt unattended chicks. And if there are no unattended chicks available, things get violent and fights break out between mobs of broody mothers as they try and kidnap little penguin chicks from each other.
Is there like a biological impetus for them to have more chicks? Because they only lay one egg, don't they?
Yeah.
So is it better to have a larger brood or something?
Yeah, maybe you want it as a backup.
Yeah, an heir and a spare.
Yeah, exactly. These kidnappings can last from a few minutes to a few days. Most end with the chick being abandoned to die in the icy tundra of the Antarctic.
Oh, get your shit together, Emperor Penguins.
Yes.
That's not a good system.
Then the Emperor Batman comes in. Yeah. Rescue them. With the Emperor Robin. Foiling their kidnaps.
Hang on. I've got it. Got it. Yes.
Some confused penguins have even kidnapped the chicks of their own natural enemy. There's a bird called the skua which eats penguins.
Oh, wow.
But they've stolen that and thus created a really bad natural cuckoo in the nest.
But the Emperor Penguin's 5 foot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind
of
bird is this?
Their natural enemy, the skua.
The skua. Yeah.
He carries around one of those signs saying you must be this high to be a penguin, and it's 5'2".
Mm.
Yeah,
that's right. You do. Penguins, they've got some good PR because I hadn't heard any of that.
They have a chocolate bar named after them, which I think helps.
And everyone's kind of like, oh, the penguins are great, because you think of they huddle and they keep each other warm and whatever.
But you can't do that with the biscuits, otherwise they melt.
That's true.
Very good. Good point.
Got to make sure.
Yeah. And also, it makes no sense that if penguins only lay one egg a year, why do the biscuits have multi packs? Stick that inside a fortune cookie.
They're kidnapped biscuits.
So one of them should actually be a skewer biscuit.
I got to say, I don't think the penguins make the biscuits. I'm not an expert. But
what? Don't shatter the illusion.
Well, I don't work.
No, you're right. They've only got flippers, so they'd be rather slapdash.
No.
But my suggestion, we're going to Africa. And we're going to the Central African Republic.
Yes!
Where we're going to meet Jean Bedel Bokassa.
This guy's a fucking lunatic.
He is. So he was born in what was then French Equatorial Africa, the son of a village chief, but he was orphaned by the age of 12. He was educated in mission schools. He joined the French colonial army in 1939 and distinguished himself throughout World War II in the war in Indochina. And when the area that he was born in, Ubangi Shari, gained its independence as the Central African Republic in 1960. The new president, David Dacko, invited Bokassa to become head of the armed forces because Bokassa was his cousin. Fast forward 6 years later, and whilst the rest of the world is watching Jeff Hurst give the West Germans a bit of you-know-what during the World Cup, Bokassa uses his position to oust Dacko and declare himself president. And he then begins a reign of terror to take over all of the important governmental posts.
The best type of reign.
Yes, absolutely. After...
light smattering.
Yes.
And purple.
He personally supervised judicial beatings and introduced a rule that thieves would have an ear cut off for the first two offences and a hand for the third. However, by December 1976, he wasn't happy with his role of just being president. So instead, he emulated his hero, Napoleon, and appointed himself Emperor of the Central African Empire.
Mm.
The coronation ceremony in 1977 cost $20 million, essentially bankrupting the entire country. This included...
Okay, this is good.
Yeah.
This so he destroyed the country purely to become emperor.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Great.
His crown cost his crown was diamond encrusted, wasn't it?
Yep.
A massive trail.
Yep, it cost $5 million.
Jesus Christ.
His full title was Emperor de Centrafrique pour la volonté du peuple centrafricain uni en sein du Parti politique national Le Messin. Which means...
Well, we know what it means.
Okay.
No, go on.
Don't have to tell us.
For the fans.
Emperor of Central Africa by the will of the Central African people, I don't think so. United within the national political party, the Messan. And he only lasted a couple of years. Oh, no, sorry. One last absolutely dickish thing he did.
Yeah.
In 1979, he had hundreds of school children arrested for refusing to buy uniforms from a company owned by one of his wives.
Yeah.
And he was reported to have personally supervised the massacre of 100 school children by his Imperial Guard.
Yeah, that was enough to break the camel's back for the French, who had spent the previous, I think, 10 or 12 years buying uranium off him, so deciding not to rock the boat a bit too much.
So, yeah, it was the okay. French backed a coup to get rid of him.
Wasn't he alleged to have been cannibalistic as well?
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
one.
I read an article about it.
If you've lost a war to the French, you're already doing very badly.
Yeah, well, apparently he leaned over to the French ambassador at the meal at his coronation and said, "You don't know it, but you've already eaten human flesh."
Yeah. Wow.
Now, again, that might be history being written by the winners, but I know it's quite close to modern times for that sort of story to get round.
It is a little. I mean, I know when the British removed themselves from Kenya during the Mau Mau Rebellion, there was lots of stories of cannibalism and drinking of menstrual blood, which may or may not have been true. So we'll take that suggestion of cannibalism with a pinch of salt.
Killing kids for not buying your tacky uniforms.
You want to have these stories. We haven't mentioned Nero, of course. But of course... The idea of him playing the fiddle while Rome burns is supposed to be not true.
He came back and helped put out the fire and helped clear all the wreckages.
Yeah.
But what happened afterwards is that he then built like 100 to 300 acre garden and palace for himself in the area that had been burnt down, and used Christians as torches to light his gardens.
Okay, so yeah.
I mean, he came and put the fire out, but then he very much made a pig's a silk purse out of the sow's ear and out of the Christian's ears.
But one of the few emperors to get a coffee chain. That's why I didn't make my list.
Barry's suggestion is inventor of the whoopee cushion, builder of a dick temple, and server of child's intestines as tapas, Emperor Elagabalus. Lord Fear's suggestion is the star of the silver screen, modeller of the marvellous goatee beard, and defeated by Flash Gordon, Ming the Merciless. And my suggestion is the Emperor of the Central African Republic, possibly cannibalistic, Jean Bedel Bokassa.
Mm.
All strong suggestions.
Thank you.
I always have there's two trains of thought. One, we've had Elagabalus come up on two shows, but I also really hate people who appoint themselves emperors.
Yes.
I just think when you go, you know what, I'm president of this country and that's not enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to level myself up.
Yeah.
And it's the ceremony to become emperor that
that bankrupts the country. Where are you emperor of? Oh, that country that has no money anymore.
And also, Central African Republic is my least favourite name of a country on Earth.
Oh, really?
Really?
Is why? It? Why?
It's just so functional.
Oh, I see.
You know, I'd like it's like it's been named don't by worry. A bunch of management consultants.
Yeah, yeah.
When you've got around you,
we've got a republic. It's the center of Africa. We need you guys to come up with a name. 2 months later, and £20 million.
Yeah, exactly.
To come back with Central African Republic or the Republic of Central Africa.
Yeah. We just can't pick it. We did one of those two.
It's one of the two of those. Well, the RAC have taken RAC, so let's have Car.
Next to Dr. Congo.
Yeah.
Well, since you two gentlemen have suggested that, we're going to go for Emperor President Jean Bedel Bokassa.
Very good.
Before we go, it's time for the world's worst news, and we are staying in London.
Well, 2018 carries on apace.
Yes, yeah. It does. What's the date, guys?
It is the 7th of August.
Yes, it is. The 7th of August. So I'm sure you'll be delighted to know that in Selfridges, you can already do some Christmas shopping.
Oh, fuck off, Selfridges.
Because Selfridges have opened up their Rocks Christmas, opened up by a Santa Claus wearing a leather rock and roll outfit and playing a golden guitar.
That poor fucking actor. Yeah. In 30 degrees.
I know.
Actor? What's this?
Of course, Lord Fear and Santa Claus meet up for their drinks at the end of the year.
Yes.
So, that's all I can say, really.
That's awful.
It is absolutely disgusting. It includes, within its theme, a Ziggy Stardust Christmas tree and an Elvis Presley Nutcracker figure. So not only is it, like, 3 months early, it is horribly tasteless.
Yeah, very nice. They also sell a Love Me Blender.
Very good. Before we go, Lord Fia, where can people find out more about you?
Well, I myself and my erstwhile colleagues have been got a few more Nightmare Live shows coming up. So it's the stage show of the hit TV show that I was a big part of. Just go to nightmarelive.com, I think is the website, and check that out. And you can also follow my good friend Tom Bell on the usual sites. He's at Tom Bell Forever. F-O-R-E-V-E-R.
Really need spellcasting.
Yes. Marvellous. And you can catch him in various Star Wars movies.
Yeah. Marvellous stuff. Well,
actually, he's popping up in a TV show called Press, which is coming out quite soon.
Oh, excellent.
On the BBC.
Very, very good. Really exciting. Oh,
so I'm looking forward to...
You're nearly having more success as him than you are as Lord Fear at the moment.
Arguably. Yes. My alter ego.
What's Press all about?
Case. It's...
Is it the story of Johannes Gutenberg?
Well, I wish.
No, I don't get the reference.
He's the inventor of the printing press.
Oh, yes. No.
Well, we're all off to
it's
go.
It's all about Irish cupboards. Yeah. Yeah. Joke for the Irish there.
I'm sorry, I don't get the reference.
It's what we call cupboards, Ben.
Did you know that?
We call them presses, yeah.
Why?
And an airing
cupboard.
Hot press.
Yeah, hot press.
Hot press is the airing cupboard.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
Great.
Press. It's in the press.
Yeah.
Which is an awkward...
Wind it up, Ben. My Uber's outside.
Okay. We'll talk about this later.
Yes, we will. We're all off to dress up as Dick Temple and stake out a Dick Temple. Until next time. Bye.
Bye. That was Tom Bell.
No, it wasn't.
Sorry, I've unmasked him again. That was Lord Fear.
Yes,
check out, if you can go and see Nightmare Live, the live stage show, you might well get that incarnation of Lord Fear or one of the others, but the show is fantastic. Former guest Paul Flannery, creator of it, of course. Richard Soames, another former guest, often appears. James Rowland, a whole host of people.
And John Henry Fall.
John Henry Fall, yeah, we've worked with a load of them at this point.
Yeah.
And do check out Tom Bell on Twitter as well. He's at Tom Bell Forever. He'll tell you whatever films or projects he's working on there. And he's just a generally funny, lovely man. I played board games with him last week.
Yeah,
it was a lovely time. He and I drew. We tied for victory.
in Twilight Imperium.
Twilight Imperium. Fuck me. Epic space battle.
Holy Christ, that's the equivalent of test cricket. You played it for 10 hours and there was no winner.
It was a draw, yeah.
Tom also recently came to fame because he lives in a warehouse, obviously, and a lovely fox fell asleep on his roof and he tweeted about it and he got a little bit of BBC front page fame.
Hashtag roof fox, I think. Yes. As ever, do the usual stuff with us. We're recording this having literally just broken into the top 50 on the iTunes chart for comedy podcasts in the UK, which is quite exciting.
It's really exciting. Yeah. We were like, we're sandwiched between, in this week's chart, we're sandwiched between
Amy Schumer and Greg James,
yes,
I think. Yes,
that's insane.
It's bonkers.
Really,
yeah.
Bonkers. So,
when you say sandwiched between, I have the vision of us sitting at a bus stop with the two of them sat either side of us.
Yeah, both looking at us going, who are these guys?
And what's a bus stop?
Yeah. Yeah, like, no, listen, Amy, it's basically the bus, this thing that's coming, it's like a stretch limo, but with an extra deck, so it is more luxurious.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, as ever, we want to keep going, we want to keep getting higher up those charts, like breaking into the world's top 50. Essentially, that means we're getting to the second round of Wimbledon of podcasts. So,
but the prize money is excellent.
Oh, it's really, yeah, but we're having to reinvest all of it in, like, a nutrition coach and improv lessons, access to the Bodleian Library. And the vaults. Yet again, if you love listening to this, and if you're a new listener, you can do many things. The most obvious thing you can do, pop on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, cheeky little strap line, that'll be banging. Word of mouth, very welcome. Tell a friend, tell a parent, tell an incredibly sentient pet.
One of the favourite things we love is when people just randomly tweet about us, so we've never heard from this. They say, just come across this, you should all listen to it. It's lovely, it's really nice. You can do that on @worstfoot, if you want to recommend it to people.
Yes, you can follow us on Facebook, just Worst Foot Forward is the page. We stick up loads of fun facts from previous episodes and start off little debates about stuff. And last of all, we keep yammering on about it, but we're on Patreon. If you're a podcast listener, you know how it works. We probably spend about 5-6 hours a week recording, booking, writing, all that sort of jazz. If you want to throw us cost a cup of coffee or a pint of beer a month, it is very welcome and it will enable us to do new and incredibly exciting things with the podcast.
Yes, if you want to hear Ben talking about the podcast, by the way, he appeared on Afternoon Edition on BBC Radio 5 Live, no less, on Wednesday, August 15th. I think you can listen to most BBC stuff wherever you are in the world.
Yeah.
A previous guest, friend of the show, Gabriel Abulu, recommended us as one of his unmissables, a section they do on that show, and they phoned Ben in to chat about it, and so he related some of our favourite facts on past shows. So if you want to hear a little 4 or 5 minute section of that, go find it, Afternoon Edition,
yeah,
on the BBC website.
And listen to Gabriel's show, the 3-track podcast. It's great for music nerds.
Indeed it is.
What's coming up next week, pal?
Next week it's another special episode. People may well remember we did an episode of our bests of the worst from episodes 1 to 5 of the show. So we went back through the archives, the topics of our first 5 shows, picked our bests rather than worst in those categories. And we're doing episodes 6 to 10. So those were Worst Astronaut, Heist Film, General, Architect, and British Day Out. So if you want to hear us being positive, rather than negative, but also negative, then tune in next week.
Worst Foot Forward is part of Podnose, the UK's leading independent entertainment podcasting network. For episode archives of Worst Foot Forward and all of the shows on the network, visit us at www.podnose.com. You can also follow us on Twitter via @podnose or send us an email via admin@podnose.com.